Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo. I'm also known as Miss ADD. And I want to welcome everyone to our Christmas show today, as promised a couple of weeks ago, that I was going to have Tom Nardone on the show. Well, we have two added surprises. We have Eric Tivers coming on, and we also have Rick Green calling in from Canada, which we really appreciate. So we're going to bring Tom and Rick on. We're still waiting for Eric to call in, but we'll do that right now without further ado.
Hello, Justine.
Hi. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I am beautiful. It's almost Christmas.
Great.
Where's my present? Yeah.
I'll send one up to you, Rick.
Okay, great.
I'm making an ADHD present.
Oh, excellent. And I'll open it and forget what it was.
So, Tom, you have to tell the listening audience why Yvonne isn't on the show.
Well, she's working now, and she started a new job, and it's Sunday night. I just going by Home Depot time, and apparently they don't close at the exact same time as Home Depot. So apparently there's other people, other stores that make decisions contrary to that. So it really is kind of my goof that she didn't know exactly when she was scheduled. And she was off.
Well, we're
last
sorry
week,
she's not on. We'll miss her.
Yeah,
tell
it was the second week of training, and everything was the same this week. She was off Sunday at the end of her training last week, so we both kind of assumed she'd be off and thought she'd be home by 7, but she'd be in no mood to, you know, chit-chat
right.
for an hour and a half on the phone. So, but she didn't get home to 10.
I got it. We're still waiting for Eric. I guess he's on Chicago time. He's not on the phone yet.
Oh, he knows.
He hasn't
yeah,
called
he'll
in.
Be he'll be on in a minute. I'm sorry. What? Yeah,
no, go
I got
ahead.
Really
you talk.
Irritated. Like 2 hours before the show, I didn't realize how late it had gotten, and I had to running around. I had to do like in my car outside of my home, so I was kind of out of my element. But I had to go to the pharmacy to pick up Yvonne's prescription, and I'm like playing beat the clock, and then I get to the drive-thru and I'm so excited because there's no one there, and there's a sign there that says the drive-thru's closed. So I got so angry, and I went in, and I was, you can't know how angry I was, because see, I had stuff in the car that I didn't know how long I was going to be, and I was getting all worried about it. So I go into the place, and there's this big long line, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, like there was someone standing next to me. I just said it out loud. Everybody here didn't, you know. And anyway, this guy who was at the end of the line, so I got behind him, and he could visibly see that how furious I was about this whole thing. And he turns to me. I am not in the mood. I mean, I am livid, but I'm just keeping it to my – so I'm just – he goes, man, what's got you all worked up? He goes, why don't you calm down and relax, man? And I'm like, you know what?
It's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, I said, I hate every living thing on this planet. I said, our relationship is about to end the minute you get to that counter. So unless you have some quick fix antidote, just turn around and face the other way. So and let me just get through this damn day. And he looked at me, and then he kind of made, like, the big eyes, and then just slowly turned back around, like, sorry. And that was it. And, you know, it was really fun. And if I'd have known what he was going to say when I walked in, I'd have just not got the prescription. You know, it's not like I wanted to. I'd have just aborted the whole mission. But, you know, it's just the wrong time, and I wish I could have unsaid it. But now that it's all over and everything, I kind of think, you know, that guy, I gave him something no one else did. I gave him a story to go home and tell his family.
Yeah.
And being that it's Christmas, I thought I'd kick off the
Christmas
show
story.
With the spirit of giving. In a roundabout
story.
Way. That's a true story. That just didn't happen.
I like
so
that
Rick,
you said
you have
that
any...
you had to. Well, I just like that Tom said he had to go in the car outside of his house. And I just thought, well, what's the other option? And then I had this picture of Tom driving around in his car in his house. It's just so. So I think there was some maybe either he's just unnecessary repetition, Tom, or that, you know, you live a more interesting life than even I knew. So.
Well, no, I don't live an interesting life. People, I portray myself as being. I talk about what, you know. It's I really extract a lot of interest out of the very little amount that I do. You know,
exactly. That's the way
I'm not lying when I say that my wife left for work at 11. Okay, I woke up at about 8, and I was playing Fallout until 11 on my or about 10 o'clock on my Xbox. Well, no, 9 o'clock on my Xbox, because I realized that while I was reading about Fallout downstairs while we were having, you know, husband and wife time in the den, my wife said, okay, Tom, I'm going to go to bed right now. Could you please put my clothes in the dryer as soon as, you know, as soon as you get ready to go to bed? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll remember it. And what was it? I think Rick said, you said that was like the big, what was the big lie that, if you said it one time, if I say this, I'm lying, or I'll remember, I won't
yep.
forget, or something like
that's
that.
That's one of the 7 lies. Yes, I'll do that
for you
when you go to bed.
Well, so this morning at 9, I'm up here, and I got my game going, and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a day killer. So I ran downstairs, and I get clothes in the dryer, and then Yvonne gets up 10 minutes later and opens the dryer, and of course the clothes are, they're still wet, but they're hot, you know, and, she goes, no way, no. I said, Yvonne, when do you leave? She says, in an hour. I said, well, they're going to be done in an hour. So I kind of got out of that one. So
lucky.
You're a lucky
it's
guy.
Been a tough day. It has been a tough day.
So Rick, you're in Canada, correct?
Yeah.
And so what is Christmas before Christmas time up there like? Is it as crazy as down here?
Oh, it's basically exactly the same. You know, it's maybe with much fewer guns, but basically it's just crazy. In fact, we went to the mall. There's a mall near us, so I know everybody hates the mall. I love the mall. I grew up going to crowded malls and people and Santa getting picture and all these. I just liked it. I love going out, So this guy comes up behind me, and he's really in a hurry to get his prescription for his wife, and he starts cursing at me. And he's, that's a different guy. And but it's, you know, so we went out to the mall, and we left the house at, I think, 7. The mall was open till 10 on a Saturday night, and the place was quite quiet. And in talking with some of the sales clerks, we discovered that it was not quiet earlier in the day, which is why we weren't there. But it's funny, you know, all of the things, like we plan that there will be crowds. We plan that there's going to be a long walk to the mall from where you park.
Right.
But then we were actually going out to get some exercise. So we parked as far away as we could to get some extra exercise. So, you know, because I've been in that position where I'm in a hurry, you know, I'm standing at the ATM or whatever it is, or the lineup, and there are all these people in front of me. And pretty well any lineup, and if I'm having to wait too long, I start getting major agitation. But I've also learned that I can, if I go into it going, there will be a lineup,
yeah,
and I'm not going to get everything done on this trip that I thought I was going to get done, or I'm going to be late, or I'm going to miss the first half of whatever, then that's fine. But it's hard to do when you're caught up in that moment with that standing with this lineup. And what I'm finding for me is dealing with the ADHD is allowing me to make choices, to choose a different way. Because before it was just automatic into frustration. And now it's like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, partly I think it's because I'm old enough now that I've waited enough, and I know, you know, nothing incredibly horrible has happened if I'm late with a TV project, if I'm late with whatever I've done. And actually with TV projects, there probably would be problems, so I'm always on time when delivering a TV show. But, you know, Like, and the stressful part comes when I, like tonight, I'm thinking I should get a few more things for my wife. And we agreed to, you know, get almost nothing for each other. I think I have like 12 things for her. Just like, and I'm thinking I should go out Monday and just, no. You got enough. I'll tell you what we do. My family is so relaxed now about Christmas that my sister-in-law one year, who is an amazing cook, but one year she had her family and somebody was sick and there was about a dozen things going on. There'd been a wedding and all this. And she just said, I'd like to order stuff in. And she said, there's a really good Indian place. And it was like, oh, that's perfect. And I think it was actually Boxing Day. Because we were, you know, different families. You'd have dinners at different people's houses. So it was going to be Boxing Day. So, do you want India? Yeah, Indian food, sure. Now, it breaks with the tradition of having more turkey and stuffing, but in the half second it took me to go, what, Indian food for Christmas? And then I was like, yeah, there's really good Indian food for Christmas. And so I love that.
It's great.
Learning to go with the flow and like, well, there's a saying from Buddhism that all suffering is due to unfulfilled expectations. And if you just keep letting go of the expectation.
Rick, so, I love you. I love you. I do mindfulness and meditation and all about Buddhism. It's what changed my life. You and I are going to have to do a show, a single show together, Rick. Will you do that with me?
Yes,
I would love to do that. Okay, awesome. Hey, I think Eric's finally gotten on. Where is he? Eric?
Can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you. Keep talking.
No.
You're running
a
little...
excuse.
This is so funny.
In my head, it was 6:30. I was happy because I'm getting here early, and I was just logging into Facebook, and then Tom messages me something that I can't really say on the show.
Yes, you can say what's the shit. I said what's
yes,
the shit.
Yes, you can. You can say it. Don't worry about it. Oh, I know what Tom said to you.
You can cut it.
Oh,
that's
so funny.
Man.
It's classic. It's great. It makes the whole show. It's wonderful.
Personally, I'm
outraged.
How are
you?
But all right.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm great. We're all great. We're having a really good time. Tom was telling us about his little episode in the drugstore, and Rick was talking about going to the mall in Canada. We're having a great time. So tell us a Christmas story or Hanukkah story, Eric.
Okay.
A Hanukkah story. An ADHD Hanukkah story?
Yes, please. Are there any other kind?
No, tell a boring one.
So we have had Hanukkahs in the past few years that actually extended 12 days because we either like forgot a day and so we just kind of pick up where we left off. Or we forget like which day we were supposed to be on. That's one version. Let's see. I'm trying to think of any other kind of crazy Hanukkah stories. You know, but my wife's family, we're all Jewish, but the way we celebrate her extended family is we do the Jewish Christmas, and that's we go bowling and then out for Chinese food, and then
great.
It's usually a group that will go and to a movie afterwards. Those are the only establishments that are ever on Christmas.
That's great.
And go see a Star Wars movie.
It's a great Christmas.
Because nothing celebrates the life of Christ like seeing planets full of people blown up.
Civilizations ended.
Yeah, exactly.
So I
this is your entertainment, folks.
I'm always wondering why it is that for Christmas, you know, Christians put the lights on their houses, right? Because Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
Right.
I just always wondered
it's
that.
Interesting.
Well,
I just asked my husband today as I'm decorating the tree. Okay, wait a second. Who started this thing about taking a real tree, bringing it into your house? My dog's drinking the water from the tree and decorate. What? Who started that?
That's
anybody
a German
know?
Tradition. Yeah, it's a German tradition. Everything about Christmas is basically been invented since, probably in the last 200 or 300, 400 years. So what happened is that if the biblical scholars will tell you that Jesus was actually probably born in March, but when the Romans started to embrace Christianity around 325, then they moved, the story got switched around, and suddenly the story got changed. So now Jesus was saying that the Romans were the holiest of the holy and so on, and it got moved to replace Saturnalia, which was on December 25th and was a pagan festival. So there were
very
gifts and there were... Yeah, so it's kind of, it was like, let's take the thing that everybody looks forward to, December 25th, cutting loose, and food and gifts, and we'll make it a Christmas thing, and so on and so on. So it's the tree is German. I saw a long list of it. I actually did a show about history, so I ended up learning a whole bunch of history stuff.
Wow.
We did 5 seasons of a show, a comedy show, though, based on history. So I ended up in the process learning a whole bunch of cool stuff. But, yeah, Christmas
That's
is amazing,
great.
The history of it. And the and St.
Like,
Nicholas.
Isn't the modern like image of Santa Claus something like Coca-Cola?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the Santas from the 1800s, they're skinny guys. And then Coca-Cola came along and started fattening them up, which enough Coca-Cola will do to you. And, and although I don't know if they show his teeth gone, but yeah. So the jolly St. Nick is a Coca-Cola invention. It's, you know, not there's
That's
anything wrong.
That's very. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's great.
Have a Coke and a smile and embrace this fat bastard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hearing all that history, I feel a lot less bad about not really liking Christmas that much. I got to tell you, it's less meaning now.
Well,
it's just like
as long as you're going to church on Sunday every day, week, you're fine then, Tom.
Yeah.
Awkward silence
Tom,
falls over
are
the
Are you
crowd.
Doing that? Are you going to
what?
Are you going to church every Sunday, Tom?
No.
I didn't think so.
Then you're on the naughty list.
Sitting down
well,
on couch
that's
and
fine. I'll be on the naughty
game.
List. They can. They might as well put me on the template.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, if there's a DSM for naughty, they could just have your picture, Tom. Be great, you know.
I know. Yeah. But you know, Yvonne has been. I mean, she's been at Home Depot, but you know, she's been out of work because she. Went on notice at Home Depot, and no sooner did she do that, her father went in the hospital. We thought he had lymphoma.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
oh.
Yeah, but he's turned out he's okay. He's okay. He's fine. So
okay.
Then her two. So it's been like a month. So I'm like, wow, you know, Yvonne's been out of work for a month. I said so, and like I've said before, I don't know the bills. You know, I just go to work, and direct deposit it puts in the bank, and Yvonne's in charge of all that. I just say, hey, I want this, and I point at it, and she'll either shake her head or she'll say, go ahead. That's how we do our finances. And, but anyway, I said, so Yvonne, you're out of work for a month. And she says, what does that mean? And she says, Christmas in March. And I said, okay. And, I mean, that's all I said was, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
my,
fine. We'll do it in March.
My mother-in-law.
We've done it in November.
My
Did you put a tree up?
My
no,
birthday.
We don't even do that in December.
What did you? Somebody
you
just said something.
They're all year.
Say that again, Eric.
That if Tom put a tree up, it would be there all year.
That's exactly
oh, hey,
right.
Honestly, I suggested that back when Brett was little and Yvonne, we had the tree. I said, can't we just, look, we got these two windows here. The tree goes right there. I still say this is a brilliant idea. All I have to do is instead of the curtain stopping at this window and this window, if I just make an L, you know, kind of come out and kind of block that corner off, we can just pull a curtain over where the tree is and cover it up. And then when Christmas time comes, all we got to do, open the curtain, flip it on, done. And, of course, she didn't like the idea because it's a whole big process of trimming the tree and putting all the shit on it. But honestly, in an ADHD household, we have enough things that have shit jammed up under it, and I don't think putting out a tree for put presents under it is just something we need to do.
We could also decorate the tree with red on one side and pink on the other so that you could flip it around for like different things. So when Valentine's Day is coming, you have the red side forward for the hearts, and then like when it's Easter, you flip it around to the pink, and then for the you could have different color, or you could get different
and
strings
of LEDs.
And
then green for St. Patrick's Day.
You know,
exactly.
I thought about that very thing, like a whole house that's just like a big circle, but you only live in like a quarter of it. So
right.
as the need for decorating changes, you just rotate the whole thing over, and now you live in that one. And you don't, or if one gets dirty, you just say, all right, well, screw this, and then just go to the next one.
Right, and if
you
need
know,
cleaning, you move. Good. You know, that's my theory.
And see,
I never understood when people put their lights up. Like, if I decorated my house to put lights up, they would be up there all year. I would never take them down. Why? It's like making a bed. It's like, why am I going to make my bed? I'm just going to unmake it again.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn them off. Turn the lights off.
I just like leaving the Christmas lights up because in the middle of February in Canada, it can get cold. And so to have this bright street lit up at least is a little cheerful as opposed to...
That's
also,
nice.
You know,
yeah.
And if someone gets lost in the drifts, they can find their way home through the glowing lights. And you can see the houses.
But I don't really care about my neighbors much because of the Homeowners Association, which it's... But I thought it'd be funny just like right in the middle of just, say, you know, June, just to put a shitload of lights out. Just
yeah.
to see what kind of reaction you get.
Why don't you do it, and then we'll have a whole show about it. You could tell us all about it.
To my house, across, so my house, in our backyard, we have a pond, and then across the pond is the other subdivision. And this family that lived in this house, in the backyard, it was this beautiful kind of backyard, a lot of open space and new development. But there's this one house that had this tacky, lit up, like Margaritaville palm tree in their backyard. And it was like, I would have this beautiful sunset that I would see out of my bedroom window. And it was like, you know, I wanted to like be able to appreciate the 98% of the view, but I couldn't. This lit up palm tree all year, 12 months of the year. At first, I thought it was, all right, this is a summer thing, whatever. Okay, fine. All year.
Oh, my goodness. Is it red? Is it red and green colors, or is it
it's like
lights? What color?
It's green. It's like, I mean, imagine like a Margaritaville. Like, you go to like a bar, they have like a palm tree. Like, that's where
it
is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, who's breathing into
guys,
the phone?
Oh, probably.
Guys, one of you guys have to do me a favor. Whoever's breathing
you,
in the phone has
you know,
to stop breathing.
I mean, what the
phone?
Hell?
Rick,
stop breathing or stop breathing into the phone?
Stop, but I...
We can't.
Rick,
take the phone
breathing.
Down from your mouth if you need to breathe.
Rick, breathe out of your mouth.
Okay.
Rick, I tried to message you.
Okay,
on,
now
Facebook.
We can hear each other better. The sound
I'll
on Blog
you know,
Talk
but...
is not that great to begin with, so we have to keep it to a minimal. All right, this is great, talking about lights. What else are we going to talk about for Christmas?
Well,
how
dealing
about
with
last
people.
Minute, how about
dealing
last
with...
minute shopping? Because I think oh. all of us wait to the – I mean, I know I always wait to the last minute. First of all, I do it now because the prices are the best. Last year on Christmas Eve, I went into a store and bought for my kids for – got them a couple of, you know, sweaters and pants and for less than $200. I mean, it was incredible, the prices. It was 60 off the entire store. So that's how I justify it. But I think most
well,
of us...
the best time is the day after Christmas, which makes a lot more
yes.
sense.
Yes. Yes.
That's what Yvonne does.
But how
does.
Do you do that?
She goes upstairs after Christmas.
But then how do you say to the person on Christmas Day, you got to wait till tomorrow?
You.
Well, I think that you talk about it in July. So, hey, I have this great idea. What do you think about this?
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't get them a gift certificate because they'll forget and it'll never get – you know, there's
that's
I've heard
yeah.
a statistic that 30% of gift certificates are never cashed. It's pure profit
I
from
am
the
part
store.
Of that
wow.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like – that's I think a good portion of that uncashed stuff is ADHD people.
You know, recently
we
I was looking through
yeah,
a pile of
that.
Clutter on my desk, and I found $150 of gift cards on my desk. I totally forgot about
it. Oh, my
yeah, I never
did
make
you
that error, but...
And now that I think about it, I'm not even sure where they are now.
Yeah. Got to do an audit.
You get to find
Eric,
them again.
Eric, you're the best. Oh, my goodness. That's the best. I found them. Now I don't know where they are.
But Yvonne would go out the day after Christmas and all these sales, and she would just buy tons of stuff. No clue about anything, who they went for or whatever. And throughout the, you know, and then when it came time to, you know, not to go Christmas shopping, she's like, okay, let's go check the closet, which is the guest room closet. And she opens up all this. It's like, you know, okay, good. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And it's like, this will go to this person, this will go to this. She has no idea who it goes to until then. But it's just done. So that she just gets it all taken care of the day after Christmas.
She's
but
smart.
You. Okay, I'm going to tell you, I can't imagine what percentage of a discount would have to be for me to be motivated enough to go out on Christmas Eve.
Well, it was early in the morning, though. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. Most of the people were still not up. So, like, that's how I did it. Otherwise, like you, I wouldn't do it in the middle of the day because then I'd have to get a gun and blow my brains out.
Like 24 hours from, like, now.
Oh, cold.
24 hours from now until Christmas.
Until Christmas Eve.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just, it's like, years ago they never did that, you know? You had to get it done within a certain period of time. They're just aiding and abetting.
You know, if I ever got in trouble with the law, I think the worst punishment someone can give me is I have to go shopping for like 3 people on Black Friday.
Wow. I just say put me in jail. How much time do I have to
go? About,
please put me in jail.
How about going after Thanksgiving dinner? Like, people actually do that. They go out after dinner because the stores are open. I don't understand that. You would never get me.
Yeah, I have something. As a retail associate, I'm pretty opinionated about that. And here's what I say. You know, the reason why those retail associates cannot spend Thanksgiving with their families is, of course, the fault of not necessarily their bosses and the people who make those decisions, while they're at plenty at fault. But it's because all the other people have decided to create a marketplace where something like that is viable by going to these stores. So
I agree.
They go to these stores, therefore it makes sense for them to be open, whereas there's no way they'd keep the lights on and keep the employees paid and all that if nobody went to them. And,
that's right.
You know, it's like, I don't know, you may have, Justine, Eric, I'm damn sure you haven't read it, but I wrote a story about when I was in the Publix, and the lady in front of me said on Christmas Eve, or said to the kid at the register, I just think it's awful that they make you work here on Christmas Eve. That is just terrible. Why would they do that? And I could not hold my tongue. I normally would. But I couldn't hold my tongue, and I gave her the full-on explanation of it, of why, and explained to her that she was the reason, and, and then she looked at, I said, well, ma'am, I said, listen, I heard you ask a question, I can help, here's the thing, you see all that beer and wine and stuff in your cart? I said, well, your family's need for alcohol is the reason why you can't be with this family. I said,
you
because
did.
If you weren't
you
here,
really?
Then, yes. And she says,
Wait, you're
here, aren't you? And she said, well, you're here, aren't you? And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. But the difference being is I'm here, and I'm accepting that. I'm not trying to hide behind some kind of a false apology or a false sense of sympathy for this man, so that I don't have to feel guilty when I walk out the door with all that liquor. I said, I'm accepting what I'm doing is wrong, and I'm just doing it. I said, it's okay if you want to be the way you are, but just own it, you know.
What did she say?
She said, I would appreciate if you didn't say one more word to me. And I said, you got it. And that was it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But, and it's,
oh, Tom, only Tom could get away with that without getting killed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
oh,
a lot of laughter in that line.
That was very funny.
It's fun. You know what's weird is that in my family, the presents have just become less and less important. And I, you know, we're no, you know, another set of screwdrivers and another. We have so much stuff, and I worked on so many TV shows, and when the production would end, there'd be all this office equipment. We have 12 staplers in our house. you know, it's like, and boxes of pens, and finally we're starting to go, you know, we're never going to use all this in our lives, and we started donating stuff to the charity, and oh, does that feel good to get stuff out of the house? Like,
that's nice.
Less and less. It is brilliant to give stuff away, to give it to a school, to give it to a charity that's where, but we're still looking at a house that is so jammed with, not jammed, but it's, there's a lot of stuff here. I mean, some of it is the DVDs that people are ordering from our shops, which is great, and people are ordering our, you know, ADHD t-shirts and all of the different things that we sell, as well as all the programs we sell. But there's some stuff we've collected over the years, and it's hard to get rid of it. There's this rule, you know, that you don't bring, if you bring something into the house, something else has to go out. We have not done that. But there's another, my daughter, who's really good at this, recommended a book, I think it's called 365 Things Less or something like that. Every day you get rid of one thing in your house. And I thought about that, and that's a great idea. And then I looked at our house in the basement, and I went, ooh, if I live to be 112, we're not going to get, I could still be getting one thing out of the house, even if we had nothing. So
I would do that, but I would, like, after 30 days, be like, okay, I'm bored of this.
Yeah.
So we need to, like, you know, do like 5 items per day for 30 days, whatever the math would work out to. So it's,
yeah, do 10 a day for 30 days, and then 65 on the last day, and you're fine. It's the on the 31st. But you know what we did this year? I had this suggestion because a lot of people in my family read. I said, you have, when I'm at your house, I see books I'd love to read, and I have books that I think, some that you would love to read, and you will, so let's do a book exchange. So everybody's showing up.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, everyone's showing up with a tub of books they've read, and it'll spark conversation. Everybody will walk away with a book, a tub of books they haven't read. So, because, you know, I've donated thousands, well, hundreds of books to libraries over the year, and I know they often get sold for a nickel if there's any slight damage to them or anything. So, anyway.
That's a great idea.
I love getting, yeah, it's getting creative with Christmas, with any of these things. I think that's, you know, the biggest thing with ADHD is we can be creative and think outside the box or see things in a different way. And
right,
we can use that to actually have a way better holiday than a lot of people
yeah.
would.
You know what happens sometimes with holiday shopping? So it's like I want to be creative and give that really thoughtful gift, and then I overthink it, and then I'm in like analysis paralysis. I actually have a really hard time with getting gifts. Like I really struggle with it, and I wish I didn't, because like I want to be that person that gives really thoughtful gifts. But
yeah.
You know, it's like, and I keep thinking, oh, you know, I need to just like be that person that when I see something that reminds me of that person, just get it no matter when it is in the year, and then, you know, just like keep track of that, create, you know, kind of list for that. But I don't do that, because then that's another decision, and then when I think of it, I'm like, well, that's not what I was going to be doing right now. I don't want to get distracted by that. So I'm awful at giving gifts. And,
well, you know, one of
the
things that
thing,
always amaze me about people who go all year long, I mean, I have friends who tell me that all year long they'll buy gifts and they put them away. I probably wouldn't remember where I put them, to be honest with you, after I brought them home. And these people, they're just so on top of all that. And I think that's pretty incredible, because during the year to buy presents makes a lot more sense. Like you're saying, Eric, you're thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
They're thoughtful gifts. It's not just running out because you got to wrap something up because you don't want somebody to be hurt. You're doing something that they're really going to love and enjoy. I have to
right.
start.
So I get surprised.
You
know, this comes every year at the same time every year.
Right.
Yep.
And then the other part of it too is. Thank you cards and thank you notes. I can tell you what I've done with thank you notes, and I'm going to share this because this is what I do. I share the stuff that people think but don't say out loud. I have like gone as far as actually writing the thank you note. I put the address on it. I put the stamp on it, and then it sat on my calendar for 3 months, and then I couldn't send it back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hang on to them for next year. It's just a rate heavy thing. Thanks for the.
Yeah, you just have to get another 1 cent stamp to offset the cost change when they change the postage. So stick
well,
that right
like
next.
Forever stamp. You know, the forever stamp works.
Mm, yeah. Past due is also another stamp you could have handy. You see.
But you know, it's like we have friends that will like will you know they'll have a party at their house, and it's like that we get our thank you card by the time we get home. You know, like, how do they do that? I just don't understand.
That's really great. Yeah. Do they do it on the internet or they send them through the mail?
They send them through the mail, and they're like handwritten, like very personalized.
I hate that.
Wow.
That kind of thoughtfulness.
I'll share something. I really did feel, I don't normally feel any guilt, but I did feel a little guilty about this only because it involved someone that had ADHD and you know, could use some help. It's a friend of mine at work had read my book, and he had, about a month later, he says, "Hey, Tom, you got a minute?" And I said, "Yeah, listen, I was wondering if you could, you know, bring another one of your books in and sign it, because my sister's, you know, grandson really, you know, has ADD. I think his mom could use." And I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, sure. Let me just tell her to write her address down, and I'll mail it off. No problem." Now, I've never had a problem doing that, you know, like when people buy the book, because, man, somebody buys it. You know, it's like if I have the money. So it's like stealing if I don't send the money, you know, kind of. So I always did it the next day. I mean, it was like I didn't have a choice. But, you know, for me to say, yeah, I'll get that to her. Okay, it was like 2 weeks, right? And then the Chad conference came, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just remembered about that book. So I came back from the conference on vacation, and I didn't know what I was going to tell him. And then just like a bolt of lightning, it strikes me. I said, oh, that's perfect. So I went up to him. I said, hey, John, listen, you always go on the offense. I said, hey, John, listen, you know what, man? I mailed that book off. You know, I wrote the address down wrong. It came back to me when I got home from vacation. I couldn't believe that thing was sitting in the mailbox. So now that covers me for the 2 weeks. About 4 days later, I still haven't done it. And I just brought the book to work. John said, okay, well, I'll pay you for it as soon as I get it, right? You know. So I was in my car, and John came outside, and I had the book on the seat of my car. You know, I brought it in the, you know, every day I had it, and I just – and. John says, oh, hey, Tom, have a good night. And I'm like, ooh, John, come here. I said, see this book? Here, what's her name? Here, let me sign it. Okay, here, it's free. I don't want anything for it. Just, it'll be worth every dime that I would make off it if you will just mail it. You've got to mail this, John. Please do it. It's free. And he goes, well, yeah, I'll take care of it. So this is like on a Friday. He comes in Monday, said, hey, I got that book mailed off. I'm like, man, you're awesome.
Yeah. You know what I love? I love the fact that you told him you had mailed it, but it came back, and you're just signing it in front of him.
Yeah, he didn't really make that. Well, maybe he did make that connection. Maybe I'm not as smooth as I thought.
Oh, my goodness. That's the best, Tom. You have
about
the best story.
But that detail actually flew right past me.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny, Tom. You have the best stories. You really do.
I hate giving presents on some level because I end up buying people what I really want for myself. And especially with my wife, it's just really bad that I get her these, oh, there's this comic called Bone that you'll love. And so I got it because I loved it. And she's never even looked at it. So now we have this thing where it's just any shopping we do together from about mid-October on is Christmas shopping. And whatever she wants and buys or sees, and oven mitts, like I'm giving her these super amazing oven mitts for Christmas because she wanted them. And they got put in storage as part of my Christmas gift to her. And then she just spends a little time practicing looking surprised and vice versa. So I know what I'm getting pretty much, mostly, and then I just act surprised, or with the ADHD, I actually forget, and I go, wow, how did you know I wanted this? So she could actually wrap up the gifts I've given her and go, oh, wow, Bone, you gave me the whole set. That's great.
That's very true. I have wrapped presents in the past and then forgotten, okay, wait, who is this to? And I had to open them up to... Crazy. Not writing on the box and wrapping it without putting a tag on it. Anybody ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah, no, I have.
No takers. Okay.
I haven't wrapped enough presents to be able to say that I've done that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't? Oh, you guys don't wrap?
I have
but
never
when I wrap, it looks
wrapped
like it
a Christmas gift ever.
First grader.
What'd you say?
I have never wrapped a Christmas gift in my life.
That I believe.
I used to give my dad DVDs, and I every single year I'd take the Walmart bag or whatever bag I bought them in. I'd spin them things around, and then I'd fold the piece over and put a bow on it and hand it to my dad just like that.
Saving a tree.
Well,
wait a minute,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
what about Yvonne? Do you
no, she
wrap
does,
for
of course.
Yvonne?
Of course Yvonne wraps them.
No, no. Do you wrap for her is what I'm asking.
No. No. No, here's – let me – okay, last – I mean, I know I've talked about this story, but last year I got the home podcast kit, right?
Yes.
And I already knew what I was getting because Yvonne doesn't understand that when you order something at Amazon, it sends a confirmation email. So I'm at work, and I get an email that said basically is like, hey, Tom, look what you're getting for Christmas. I mean, that's how that worked, you know. And so I did fake it, and I said, well, darling, I did just get an email from Amazon. I'm hesitant to open it, which I've already seen it, but I said I'm hesitant to open it because I fear that it might be something you have bought me for Christmas that you would rather I not know about. She goes, oh, my God, Tom, don't open that email. Now, keep in mind, I haven't lied to her yet, and nor will I. I said, okay, Yvonne, relax. I won't open the email. And I didn't open it after I told her I wouldn't because I already knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And I had to act surprised about something I didn't really want anyway. So that was kind of hard.
So it's almost like it's like you had to fake your disappointment a second time or something. It's just,
yeah, it was really, really a strange thing. I had to fake my fake feelings.
Yeah.
And but normally Yvonne, see that, and she never gets me anything for Christmas. Really, what she'll do is a couple of weeks before or whatever, she'll just say okay, and she'll give me a number, and that's my present, and that number represents how many dollars I can go out and spend on something I want.
Ah, that's smart.
So
that's really good.
Just, yeah.
You have to like spin like a wheel of fortune wheel.
No, because it might land. I mean, no, she'll just go to the maximum it can be, and then that's what it is.
Well, that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been getting people theater. We've been getting people a few things. One is because everybody seems to have enough stuff and more stuff than they want. So we've been getting people really nice chocolate or something edible. Wine is popular with a lot of people. The other thing we've been getting people, theater tickets. And people who have been to theater in like a long time, you get them tickets to. We had some extra tickets that I gave them to our kids, and it was for the show Kinky Boots, and they didn't really know what the show was about. And if you look at the ads, so my son, they're all excited. They're going to this big production in a big theater downtown. And my son messaged my daughter and said, what's the show about? And so she went online and Googled and searched and looked at it and says, I think it's about transvestites. And my son went, who's an engineer, he went, oh, okay. And they went down. And I mean, I'm not sure. I assume it is about some of that as well, but just wild and kinky people buying these kinky boots or something. And they absolutely loved it. They just, and so now it's funny, he actually asked for theater tickets for Christmas. As
wow,
I don't know how many shows you've seen. I've seen, you know, I used to be performing a lot on stage, but every time I've gone and seen a big play, it has stuck with me more than, you know, two seasons of a television series. Theater is,
yeah, I could not agree more.
Yeah,
it changes you somehow. I love it. And
yeah, you're right.
So It's such a great gift, and especially for people who've never been or haven't been in 20 years, and it's that I mean, it's just this whole experience, and nobody's checking their cell phones, there's nobody talking in the middle of it, you know, or the way it is with a movie or whatever. So
yeah. So let me ask you something though.
Last year we had we got season tickets to this small theater. It's a theater in the round.
Oh, great!
Not a bad seat in the house. Oh, it was wonderful. And the people, whenever we went, the people that were like next to us always thanked us for coming because they said we brought the average age down by about 30 years. Because everyone who were like seasons, we would go to like the matinee shows because, you know, my wife like turns into a pumpkin after 8 p.m. So like we're going to like the 4:30 show. And so it's all like the seniors, and we're there in our 30s, and so just delighted to have us there. So we really do enjoy the theater, and it's a spectacular small little theater. We love it.
That's nice.
It reminds me of a slightly dotty aunt in our family got tickets to see Monty Python's Spamalot. And it was the matinee.
I love Monty Python.
Yeah, well, this was the matinee. So, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, and I was easily the youngest person there, or my wife was, because she's younger than me.
Wow.
And it's Monty Python, and it's just, it's nuts. And there's all these busloads of seniors who come in to see Seven Brides for Seven Brothers or something. They're like, they're not expecting this. And they're delivering one line after another that got roars in the movie. Total silence, except my wife and I laughing, and my dotty aunt just not understanding that it was a comedy. And why were these knights dancing around? And it was just, it was beyond bizarre. This audience who thought it was going to be Camelot, right? You know, it's Richard Burton in it, and you know, it was
That's
so
great.
Funny. And I agonized for the actors up on the stage. They're just... get wasn't quite that you could hear the crickets in the background or the hooting of an owl. It was that, but it was brutal to be delivering these lines and nothing. And they started going faster and faster until they're basically it looked like what they call an Italian rehearsal, which is a rehearsal where you run the lines quickly, cue to cue. It sort of turned into
get this done.
Yeah,
let's get it over.
Yeah,
Rick, have you ever gone to a show where you didn't know what you were going to see?
Pardon me?
Have you ever gone to a show where we sat down in the theater and had no idea what you're actually about to see?
Yeah, a few times because a friend's written something. I went to one that an actress who worked on a TV show I did, History Bites, she'd written something, and I thought it was going to be fairly light because she was – and it was set in Argentina during the revolution and involved a love triangle with a guy and – or two guys and one girl, and then ended up with the two guys going together and ending up being the romantic – it was just – it was an odd evening, and heavy, because it was set against the revolution in Argentina when people were disappearing and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, now and then. But then on the other hand, you know, we went and saw, I don't know if you have seen it or not, but the Book of Mormon. And I cried from beginning.
So
I laughed from beginning
yeah.
to
Yvonne
end.
Yvonne wants to see that.
Yeah, it is so brilliant. And like everything they do, it's just outrageous. And then they come up with an ending, and you're going, "Huh, good message." So
yeah, I'd love to see that. It's supposed to be really good. You going to get tickets, Tom, for Yvonne?
For the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Yvonne's up on all that. She'll be getting us. She's already asked about it, and I told her, "Sure, you know, I'd love to go." I don't have a clue what it is, but I just remember her saying that. But I mean. We went to see The Producers the first
that
one
was
we ever
good.
Saw. That was, it was amazing. And but you know, even better than that, and you know, I feel like less than a man to say this out loud, and I don't care, but it was Wicked. We went and saw Wicked. That was amazing.
Oh, I didn't see that. I want to see
it. Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, my wife saw that.
Was
loved
Avenue
it.
Q? Yeah, what?
Avenue Q. Have you ever seen that? It's the one with the puppets. Yeah, Avenue Q. Like one
no,
of the songs.
No, I never saw. I never saw that.
I mean, my face hurt. I was laughing so hard. It's like it looks like it's Sesame Street, but this is not for kids. You know, there's a character that like it's like a parody of Cookie Monster, and one of the songs is "The Internet is for Porn."
Hey, do we have callers?
What's that?
No, I don't think. Do we have any callers? Oh, we do.
They're calling and saying, "Get off the line."
Do you know Brett Thornhill?
What are you guys talking about?
Oh yeah,
Brett Thornhill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brett Thornhill's on the phone. Let's bring Brett on. Okay, hi Brett.
Hi. How are you?
Hey,
good.
Brett.
Yeah, Brett's about to join the fraternity of. ADHD podcasters pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks very much. I was actually enjoying listening to you guys talking. I was getting this whole like lessening culture in theater in the finer details of theater. It was quite interesting, actually. So I'd forgotten that I called. I thought I was just kind of listening to the show on a computer. It was all good. And then I hear my name, and I go, oh, geez, wake up, man. You gotta talk
to somebody. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Brett, do you have a good Christmas story for us, Brett?
Ryerson?
Wow. Ooh, that's a lot of input, man.
Well, five people with ADHD, do the math.
I know. It's tough. Is Rick still on the line?
Yeah. I'm here.
He's the only one who didn't speak there. I was gonna say it's kind of tough following Rick, but you know now I'm not even following Rick. Now I'm in the same room with Rick. That's even tougher again. Yeah, absolutely. Justine, you asked if I had any Christmas stories.
Yes, any good ADHD Christmas stories?
Well, I mean, other than the fact that hey, you know, just thank God for my wife who functions as my prefrontal cortex. So she's like my she's entirely what makes Christmas happen in this house. Are you kidding? Everybody,
that's great.
Friends keep asking me, they say, I'm sorry?
I said, that's great that you have a wife that is
Oh, she's totally like
that. She makes Christmas happen.
She does, absolutely. Friends keep asking me, go, you know, are you ready for Christmas, Brett? And I go, well, ready. Like, I got one person to buy for. Ask my wife. But, like, I had to buy for one person. You know, I put up the tree. This year I bought a pre-lit tree. Next year I'm buying a pre-lit house. So, you know, see if I can get away with that one. So, I mean, what I had to do for Christmas really is, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, but what's fun is you guys were mentioning about the idea of wrapping gifts and then forgetting who you had them for. And for me, it's kind of my biggest ADHD thing, even before I was diagnosed, I didn't really realize this, but you know that intuition, that kind of like, you know, ability to make kind of intuitive leaps, go like point A to point B to point F?
Yeah.
It was always a challenge for me. Even as a kid, it was a challenge for me to not know what I was getting for Christmas. Because I'd get the slightest little hint. I'd see the shape of something. I'd see a glance between two people. And I'd be like, I know exactly what I'm getting for Christmas. Mm. You know?
Did you ever
and
look?
How do you know that? You were an insightful
little bastard, weren't you?
Well, I was, Tom. yeah, well, Rick, though, to answer your question, did I ever look? Yeah, I mean, you know, the impulsivity and the impatience and stuff absolutely caught up with me. My absolute most memorable Christmas of my life, and you guys will all remember this. You're all the right age group to remember this. Do you remember the $6 Million Man, Steve Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a Steve Austin action figure that was just the coolest gift I ever got as a kid. He had a little hole in his head you could look through for his bionic eye. He had a rubber arm. A rubber arm you could roll up, and you could look at all the bionics inside and all that stuff. And I looked, and I found where the gifts were hidden, and I found my Steve Austin. And it ruined my Christmas. It absolutely ruined my Christmas.
I got that Steve Austin doll, too. And what ruined my Christmas, I had to know what made him stretch. I had to know what was inside. And I cut it open.
Oh, that's got Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, Stretch Armstrong. That's what it was.
Okay,
that's,
so
yeah.
I have a great story about Stretch Armstrong. So one of my buddies growing up, so he had one of these Stretch Armstrongs, and he had this whole box of, what do they call the blackjacks? Or they're like quarter sticks of dynamite. And he wrapped the Stretch Armstrong around a quarter stick of dynamite, a bunch of them.
Nice.
No, he
didn't. Tell me you lit him.
He lit it, and it went everywhere. I think it cracked one of the windows on his and his parents. Like they had like this patio, this like screened-in patio that had windows up. I think he broke that. It was the coolest thing ever.
Wow.
Wow! Yeah, like, what was that? What was that noise? Oh, that was Blast Armstrong. That's all good.
Yeah.
Do you think that people listening to the show are going to think we're all stoned?
Yeah. If they if you listen to this show on the podcast app, put it at half speed because it sounds exactly. It. I mean, it is. When Eric laughs on his show at half speed,
It is so, Eric, if you haven't listened to yourself laugh at half speed, you need to do that as soon as we're done here, because it is awesome.
Tom, I wonder if you listen to all of my episodes at half speed, because I think at least five times you've asked me, dude, you got to listen to your episode at half speed. Have you done
it? Oh, have
it?
You
awesome.
Done it?
I don't think so.
Well,
no,
I will stop
I'll
when
answer
you tell
for
me
him.
It's awesome.
No.
But,
no.
You know, we used to all get, in my neighborhood, we'd all get bikes. You know, that was like the big thing. We'd get bikes on Christmas morning. And we had all these little things that we did. And at this one time, what we enjoyed doing was cutting down trees in the woods just to watch them fall. Because it was like so just amazing. But we had been working on this one tree for weeks. I mean, this was like a sequoia tree or something. This thing was so big, two of us couldn't even fit our arms around it. I mean, we'd been working on it and working on it, and we all went, and it was snowing, and we all went down to where with our new bikes, you know, and figured we'll work on the tree. It was Christmas Day, you know, no school. So anyway, this was the day that the tree would fall, and we were just about to stop. We were working on, I think, for about 2 or 3 hours this one day, and then the tree just made a little, you know, like, oh my God, it's about to go, you know. And it could have, like, four ways. One way, it was going to destroy this house that was almost completed being built. The other way, it would fall over the waterfall where we used to swim, which is what we wanted. One way, it would fall and block our bike trail. And the other way, it would fall on this man's farm. And it's okay, that happened, because his kids were a bunch of assholes and they used to pick on us. I secretly kind of wanted that to happen. Well, anyways, we had no idea what way it was going to fall. Well, when it started falling, it went towards the farm, okay? This tree was so big, when it fell on the fence, it drove like 19 of the fence posts flush into the ground, because that's how hard this thing smacked them. And the ground shook.
Awesome.
It looked like it was snowing because all the trees in the area lost their leaves. I mean, you couldn't see through the wall of snow that fell from these leaves when this tree hit. And we just hauled ass. We don't even know. We never went back there and swam ever again, ever.
So nobody got caught?
No.
Okay.
And is he listening tonight?
What?
Just hope he's not listening tonight. You know, it's just.
I hope not. Yeah.
Well, I remember his name. It was Mr. Hagen. And if you're listening, Mr. Hagen, come and get me.
Exactly.
That's 35 years ago.
You know the funniest part of that
maybe
story?
The guy...
What?
What?
I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, the funniest part of that story for me, and Rick will get this. Rick will understand this. I'm from Newfoundland on the east coast of Canada, and you guys got bikes for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? Oh, because that's your transportation there.
Because we don't start riding bikes here until, like, June.
Yeah, yeah. That's like getting skis in July for us. You know, it's
that's
kind of
like, that's kind of like getting skis in July. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Although, you know, I live in Toronto, which is actually farther south than most of Washington and Oregon, all of Washington and
very
Oregon.
Nice.
So,
I've been to Toronto. It's very nice.
Yeah, so it's but there are parts of Canada that make Montana and North Dakota look like the tropics. It's brutal. It's brutal up here. Which that's the other big thing. I'm not big on going outdoors anyway, just any time of the year, but in winter it can be so brutal. And it's then the problem is I don't know about you, but I find that sunlight, like at some point my body actually does want a little bit of sunlight to make some vitamin, is it A or D or whatever it
D.
is
it's
D.
vitamin D.
Yeah.
D,
yeah,
yeah. So I got one of those little lights that you set up that
mm-hmm.
for seasonal affective disorder. It actually works. It's quite neat. First time I turned it on, I thought I was looking at the Death Star, and then I read the instructions after starting it and running it for 5 minutes. Then I read the instructions. Oh, you don't look directly into it. Okay, that was a mistake. In fact, I couldn't read the instructions because I had to wait for my eyesight to return.
But it was the happiest day of your life.
Yeah, exactly. I had happy eyes. They were wandering, and they were so happy they were crying. And then, but I highly recommend that light for people who, because ADHD folks, we often, you know, we often suffer from depression as well. There's this huge overlap, right, going in and out bouts of it now and then. So that little light bulb is it's a little set of LEDs, and it just sits there. You turn it on for 15 minutes on a timer, and bang, and it's done. So I'll have it going while I'm actually sitting at the computer writing. Love it.
That's great.
Now, I have one where I work out and at my computer. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, there is one thing I wanted to make sure we talked about tonight. Eric, I don't think you knew about this, but and Rick, I didn't even know that the Frantics was a special on Showtime.
The Frantics was a comedy troupe that I was and am part of, and I was a teacher at the Ontario Science Centre, doing all the demonstrations, setting people's hair on end and burning things with lasers and freezing things with cryogenics and so on, and then ended up getting full time into comedy, and there were four of us, and we did comedy. Yeah, there you go. And so we did comedy for a long time, and
it was a TV show up here.
Yeah. So the TV show was called Four on the Floor. We had a radio show for many, many years. We had a TV show for one season. It was the most expensive show ever produced in Canada at the time. And now it would be spare change.
Oh,
thanks. We had some weird stuff. Dr. Demento, who's the kind of authority of comedy, said that we were the funniest comedy troupe in the world that didn't have a snake in our name. And I thought that was I still smile at that.
Python,
it's like,
right?
Wow, next to Python. That's pretty hot, pretty heady territory.
That's
great. Yeah, yeah.
There are two just phenomenal. If you haven't seen any of this stuff, or if anybody hasn't watched any of this stuff, and you go on YouTube, there's two of my, Rick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my absolute favorite Frantic sketch were obviously Mr. Canoehead, which was a recurring sketch. And it was all about a guy who was, I'll get it wrong, but he was canoeing across Canada, basically. And one day, while portaging across the Algonquin Pass or whatever, was struck by lightning and had the canoe welded to his head.
Yeah. And now, of course, he fights crime.
He fights crime. He's Mr. Canoehead and he fights crime.
Yeah. Portaging is when you pick the canoe up and move it from one leg to the other by carrying it on your head, right?
Yeah, so that was on part two of Walk Upright.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's very
so
funny.
Good.
I have to find these.
Yeah,
and the other one on YouTube are the four guys on the train, and the guy gets a call from his daughter. They're on the subway on the way home, and I won't go into a whole lot of detail about it, but you'll cry laughing if you watch
it. It's funny. It's called Her First Period. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, and my wife, somebody sent this, women were sending this to everybody. And when we performed it live on stage, I remember the first time we went out to do this scene, because it's basically a guy getting, I'll give a bit of it away, a guy in a train getting a call from his daughter and saying, what's wrong? Oh, I'll be home soon. Mommy will be late. Don't worry. And then we'll have a hamburger helper. What's wrong? You have a tummy ache? Oh, it's hurting. Is it? Well, just, oh, it's hurting down there. And the other people on the train are sitting there, oh, my God, right? So it's a great scene because all I have to do is make faces and react with growing horror. Oh, honey, you're having your first period. Well, and he starts giving her directions somewhere. And it goes from bad to worse. It just goes worse and worse. And we were so scared to do it because it's four guys. But we've all got daughters, and we've all been through this awkward, weird moment. So the first time we go on stage to do this, I was so nervous, and looked out. It was a big audience that night, and it was amazing because all the men were wide-eyed in horror. The women were doubled over laughing, and then the guys were kind of glancing at their wives or girlfriends. Is this okay to laugh? Wives are killing themselves laughing. The worse it got, the funnier they thought it was. And you hear the roar. Normally you hear a groan from an audience with something a little, oh. It was all the guys groaning, and the women were howling, and it was so funny. So then we had this very poor quality coffee up on, it was on Funny and Die, or Die, Will Ferrell's site, and became immortal. And, her first period. So then people start sending it to my wife and say, oh, you got to see this. Women are sending it to each other. And my wife saying, that's Rick, third from the right or third from the left. Oh, my God, it is. They had no idea. So I thought that was hilarious.
As funny as the lines are
YouTube?
In that sketch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing how many comedians are ADHD. You know, the documentary that we did, ADD and Loving It, was about a fellow comedian, Patrick McKenna, getting actually diagnosed. And, you know, Patrick played Harold on the Red Green Show, and we followed him as he got diagnosed. He pretty well knew, but he was waiting for he hadn't been officially diagnosed. So it was really an interesting process. And when that aired, other Canadian comedians and comedians in general, because Patrick's worked in the States as well, were all calling up. And whenever I performed at a comedy festival, and I do a one-man show now called my award-winning Coast to Coast Mental Disorder. And when I perform that at a comedy festival, all the other comedians come up, or else their wives go up to my wife and say, how do I get him to a surgeon? Where do we get a test? And it's hilarious. Just hilarious.
You know, Rick, I'm sure you've heard this before, but when ADD and Loving It was first aired on PBS, that probably boosted my practice probably about a good 10%.
Well, yeah.
How many people called me? I just saw this documentary, and that sounded a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks.
It was a great documentary too, Rick.
I think it was huge. I think it was absolutely huge.
Yeah.
It was big for me. I sat and watched it with my daughter. Both of us had kind of just been diagnosed, or not long been diagnosed when it came out. So it was a tremendous opportunity for really the whole family to sit down and watch this and learn. And I love, Rick, I tell whoever I possibly can about it, especially in Canada, because it's so great to see a Canadian resource like that. And, I love the way that you walk the line. You just walk the line between, I mean, you know, the poignancy of ADHD, which is very real for so many people, and I don't want to minimize that at all. I mean, it's been very real for us all. But the poignancy and the irreverence that comes along with that that you highlight there. And you walk that line so well. It's fantastic.
I think it's been seen by 5 or 6 million people now. I wish everybody paid a dollar for the viewing and we'd be able to run the website for the next 20 years. But but then what's happened is, no, we have the website and we have, and people are, like, right now, in fact, I think ADD and Loving It and the sequel, ADD and Mastering It, are on sale. If you're looking for something for Christmas for someone with ADHD, it's and what I really recommend, why I think ADD and Loving It is so powerful, Mastering It deals with some of the strategies that Patrick and I use, and other people, of course, have used that we've heard from. But what's neat about ADD and Loving It is that people who are adamant that they don't have it watch it and go, okay, who do I talk to now? Is there a specialist? Like it takes away all of the fear, and they go, okay, this is me. Part of it's, you know, so many of us, I don't, but Patrick is fairly dyslexic. So a book about ADHD, and we're most of us come into the world wired this way. So, you know, I know when I first read the list of symptoms when my son was diagnosed, I went, oh, this is normal for everybody. No, it's normal for me. And I had no idea that there was another way of being, that you could be calm. And, in fact, in the documentary, when I sat Patrick and his wife Janice down, and we just talked to them for an hour or an afternoon. They did a bunch of the tests, and a lot of that footage got in. But there's at one point I asked him, and this was towards the end of all the shooting after we'd interviewed all these experts. I said, how do you feel about medication? He said, now that I have the facts, I'm really looking forward to trying it. And because I'm interested in experiencing that calm that other people have that I've never known. And I nodded, but my wife was just, it stunned her. And she, at that moment, she got, I can't imagine what it's like for Rick. I can't imagine what that's like, because my wife done yoga, you know, and all of these things. So she's very different. She's experienced calm. She grew up on a farm, and so she had a very different. And that moment for her was just kind of a, I've never even considered it. And I know the documentary for, like, video to begin with for people with ADHD is so much more powerful, but to take the information and wrap it in a story. I mean, that's the power of story, right? That's why, what are we sharing tonight? Our stories about dumb things we've done or weird things we've done. It's, you know, I can list the symptoms and so what, but once you start telling your story, man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the other thing we've done is medication is the big thing that people come to our website for. It's the number one thing people are searching for.
So we did a website.
What's that? They come for information. Yeah, we're selling stuff out of the back of a car. It's great. It's really great. Yeah. But
that's great.
But we finished
he
5 hours.
He grows stuff to sell using that vitamin D lamp that he has, right?
Exactly. And then, so we finished, we just finished a 5-video series. Each one's as long as ADD and Loving It, or almost as long. 5 videos on medication. And it is epic. It's over 4 hours of stuff. But what we did, we had all of these experts, and then at the last, not the last minute, but towards the end, I said, you know what? We need some stories here. It's just information. So I approached a couple of support groups and said, would anybody be willing to talk about medication? And, of course, some people were horrified and vanished, and other people were like, oh, you want to hear? And so 18 people shared their stories, and the range is everything from my experience, which was, wow, this is like the best cup of coffee in the world, or a light switch went on, and I didn't even really notice any difference, but I just finished a year's worth of taxes, to other people who were having side effects, and one woman had a drug interaction with some other stuff. I think she was taking for bipolar or whatever. Anyway, but it was amazing. Their stories, like as they were telling them, I was either doubled over with laughter, jaw on the floor, nodding in agreement, going, oh, yeah. Or just teary-eyed, hearing the struggles
yeah.
people have been through. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And those 18 stories got woven into this series. And it's just, well, every doctor who's seen it so far has said, it's great to see all these experts, but, oh, I love hearing people's stories. That's what makes it
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Know we're not
that's
alone.
What, that's what I do on my podcast, too. It's you know, it's I love the quote from Brené Brown that says that stories are data with a soul.
Yes,
it is. You know, it's like we connect so much more. Like the science is important, but we connect more with stories, which ironically is also what the science says, is that we connect more with stories.
Absolutely.
So if we want to really educate and teach, you know, we have to do it through the realm of stories.
Well stories are humanizing, you know?
Yeah, and look at the newsroom. They don't ask, you know, what are the facts? They say, what's the story? What's the story?
Right.
Because the story is how we sort this out and why we understand what's going on. And ADHD people have the best freaking stories. They just do.
Yeah, they really do.
So, and a lot of them, except for Nardone, of course, but the rest of them are really good at telling their story. It's just, you know.
But we've been telling ourselves stories our entire life, Rick. So, you know, you get good at it after a while. You get good at it. You do something enough. You do anything enough, you get good at it, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we have. We've been telling ourselves stories our whole life. I mean, that's, you know, since I was diagnosed, I became a professional coach, ADHD coach. And you know, that's the conversation I have with my clients. Most of the conversations I have with my clients are about the stories that we've told ourselves our entire lives and how they limit us and how they keep us from moving forward, and how when you change your story, it can make a bigger difference than if you change what you do.
And you can also, the thing that's been powerful for me is to reinterpret, like take the same facts and build a better story. The thing that took me a long time to get, and it took some personal development courses, but it's the realization that you can choose a better story. And so the story I had that was that my mom was a nag. And in the middle of this course, I suddenly got, the course leader was used me as an example and said, do you want to work with me? And I got up there and got coaching. And they said, give me an example of where your mom's a nag. And I, the course leader, she had asked, who has a complaint about someone in their life that they've had for more than 5, 10 years? And they're up with my hand. And I said, well, whenever we get in the boat at the cottage, after 30 years, she says, do you have bailing cans? Make sure you have paddles and make sure you have life jackets. And the damn boat seats 6, but we never have more than 4 because it's kind of small. And there's 9 life jackets in there. There's 3 children's life jackets as well. And we don't have any small kids in the boat. There's 4 paddles. There's like a dozen, you know, and we're on this lake that's really, you could walk across, you know, you could walk to shore if you got into trouble. And the course leader walked up and listened and listened and listened and then looked at me and said, why do you think she says that? And I went, oh. I was sobbing. I said, 'cause she loves me. And she and she said, right. And I suddenly had a way better interpretation, which was, my mom can't swim. My mom doesn't know how to drive the boat. If we get into trouble on that lake, it would kill her if anything happened to me or the grandkids. And I had this story that my mom was a nag. Now, I could still, if you wanted, I could still find evidence that my mom was a nag. But when I started looking for my mom loves me and wants the best for me and cares about me and worries about me, man, I could find all the evidence I wanted for that. You can look at any situation in the world right now, and you can find a better interpretation. People are this, people are that. Well, maybe they're just really scared. Maybe they're really, you know what? And so that's been really powerful around my own ADHD as well, to be able to go, you know, because at first I think everybody, doesn't everybody go through the, oh, my God, this is good, and then, oh, my God. I mean, I went to and Steven Spielberg, right? That's where I went to. And then I was like, no, I'll do what I'm doing. So
you mourn the person that you think you could have been, right? You end up, because it almost felt like a grieving process. When I look back on it now.
Yep.
It almost feels like a grieving process. And what I realized was that I think I was actually grieving the person that I think I might have been had I known earlier. And, you know, when it comes to and when it comes to stories, it's an exercise. And I think it's an exercise that I kind of came across it organically. But from what I've been told, it's an exercise that's used in therapy quite a bit, is I encourage people to retell a story if there's a story that's not serving them. Retell it, but don't be a character. Don't tell that story from the first person. Tell that story, that same story, from a third person perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell the same story from a third person perspective, all of a sudden it gives you objectivity. It allows you, so you're looking at, so I literally do this exercise where I take my hand and I pull it back and I kind of like, and I've had clients come back to me and actually go, and we're talking about something that's happened and you know, some progress that they've made. And I, you know, well, how did you make the process? And they'll actually do the action with their hand. They'll go, well, I pulled myself back. And I just told the story again, but I told it from a third person perspective. And wow, what a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I also think that what both of you were talking about also helps with emotional regulation. Because when you can just step back and tell the story from a third person, or if you, from what Rick was saying, approach other people's lives and their fear and look at what they're doing from another direction than being angry about it or judging it, then that helps with being able to regulate the emotion.
Absolutely. And a little bit that I've learned about psychology, one of the things that I find really powerful is that when you see people that are angry, anybody who's very angry or blustery or walking around waving a gun, right, or I'm going to open carry my bazooka or whatever they've got, right? If you look at this, the anger of the face, they're actually terrified. They're scared.
Yes.
Like, who would need to walk into a store with a machine gun unless you're scared? And so people are scared right now. They're scared post 9/11. And I remember a radio host, Tom Hartman, who's written a ton about ADHD, and he said he has a theory that America is in PTSD as a nation post 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a very interesting explanation, but people are scared. And when you're scared, your brain doesn't get the blood it needs because that goes all to the core of your body, your heart races, your stomach, all this stuff's going on, and you can't think straight. When we're scared, we don't think straight. When I'm scared, I'm sure that noise is someone breaking in downstairs, and then, oh, no, right, it's that thing I set up earlier that, you know, and it's bumping in the breeze or, you know, the furnace is on or whatever it is, right? But when you're scared, and part of that is it's a good thing to have. You know, something moves in your peripheral vision. Is that a snake? Now, you know, living in a house in the suburbs, it's probably not going to be a snake. Yeah, a squirrel. Or a snake eating a squirrel or vice versa. But we're hardwired to do that anyway, right? Anything that comes at us, we're hardwired to fear it first. And then, you know, that whole amygdala and all of the reptile brain and
The lizard brain, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's – and that's – you know, your brain on some level can put in the pause, but with ADHD, it's harder. So I get that thing about emotional regulation, which we really didn't even talk about in ADD and Loving It. We've done two videos since, one on anger and one called on emotional sensitivity about the emotional roller coaster. But that is a huge issue for people.
How about ADD and feeling?
But when you think about it, I mean, you know, emotional regulation really requires nuance. And the one thing that doesn't happen when you're in lizard brain mode and you're in, you know, fight, flight, or freeze mode, which is exactly what you're talking about, Rick.
Yeah.
You don't live in nuance. Nuance is not where you're living at that point. It's black and white because it's evolutionary. It's survival. It's like I either have to, you know, I have to fight or I have to get the hell out of here or I have to freeze and play dead or I have, but it's all absolutes. So that emotional regulation, that all lives in nuance. That all lives in the ambiguity of life. And we're not all that fond of ambiguity anyway. And when when we're in that mode, when the amygdala is, you know, kind of running the show, then we're not going to live in that nuance at all. We're not even going to pay attention to that nuance. That's not going to get any airtime whatsoever.
Yeah, it's, you know, in military they have what's called a friendly fire incident, and it's like, It is 10% of people die from Fenley fire, and in some points it's been higher. And I get it. You know, you see something move, you shoot, and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
was ours. So, you know, it really is. That's why mindfulness, I think, is, and we've got a video on that as well, actually, and we're just working on one with Dr. Mark Burton about parenting mindfully, but that ability to just slightly slow it down and go, you know what, I'm not going to get into a fight with my kid again, or I'm not going to get mad at the boss, or I'm going to look at the boss and realize the reason the boss is yelling at me is the boss is scared about something, about the company or the future or the whatever. And it may not, you don't have to forgive the boss for screaming at you, but it's way better than getting into an argument with them to be able to go, you're really scared, aren't you? Or be able to be able to interrupt that in someone else and in yourself. I love that self-talk thing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick.
That's great.
We have like 9 minutes left, but I mean, at just some point before, I thought a great way to close the show when we're ready, Rick, is if you're willing, can you sing your song that you did on the your last blab about mommy kids and Santa Claus? I mean,
yeah. Okay, let me go get the script. I'll go
the
get the
ends?
Script. Yeah, you guys talk for a few minutes. I'll be back.
And Eric,
okay, we'll
like
talk.
What's with your coaching? You got another? Do you have a group coming up?
I do have tomorrow. Depending on if you're listening to this live or the replay, December 21st. I think that's tomorrow. I have a free webinar.
Yeah.
Called High Tech and Low Tech Solutions to Supercharge Your Productivity. I have to double check to see if there's spots left, but if you are interested in that, just go on the ADHD Rewired Facebook page, and you'll find a spot to register there. But yeah, I have people are registering now for the group. It starts February 1st is where we're officially getting started with the coaching. And people can certainly find out more information.
Is it the same? Is this different than what you did before, or is this a webinar, or is this the coaching community?
The webinar you're talking about?
Yeah, I meant the webinar. I didn't know if that was the same thing, or if you turned one into the other, or what.
No, so the webinar tomorrow is the presentation that I gave at the Chad conference. It's that, but I'm going to give the full version because I was overly optimistic on how much I can get through at the Chad conference. So I had to kind of skip a bunch of sections of it. So I'm going to do the whole thing tomorrow on the webinar. If it was afterwards, I'm probably going to be doing a replay of it. So again, just look me up on Facebook.
Yeah, I put this doing the show. I put it in my app, the Epic Win app, so I get to fire that off and advance a little further. I leveled up twice already. I'm loving that app. It's the first app I've ever used.
For productivity.
It's a
perfect ADHD
app.
What is that app?
Well, it's called Epic Win. Eric talks about it. We went to Chad. Yvonne didn't go to one session. I didn't go to any either the whole time, except I went to Eric's because he asked me to film it. And
great.
Anyway, in the presentation, he talked about this app called Epic Win. And it's like when you, instead of doing a to-do list, you put your to-do list in this app and you assign it a point value or whatever. So when you finish the app, you just hold it down and this, your avatar, whichever one you pick, has like a machine gun. He's like, and boom, and then it's like you level up, and it's like it's like a video game.
Oh, that's great!
Almost.
That's great.
It's
you would
really
love
cool.
that, Tom. I know.
Yeah,
that's
and you
great.
And I, game you know, it's like I can't unless I do it. I could just whatever, but it's just it kind of screws my game up. So it's like now my life is a game. So it's kind of working.
It's gamification and productivity. Gamification is actually a technique that's being used in marketing more and more. And I worked for 20 years in marketing before I got into ADHD coaching. And gamification was actually just when I left the marketing world about 3 years ago, it was becoming really popular as as a marketing tool and a way to promote messages. And not so much commercial marketing, but message marketing and cause marketing and that sort of thing. Gamification is huge.
Yeah, I'm certain there's a study on how gaming helps ADHD. Wouldn't you say so, Eric?
I would think one or two.
Yeah, right.
I'm certain of it.
Tom has an issue with anything that whenever it's a, you know, a study says, he just takes such issue with it because he's like,
I know.
Studies say everything. Tell me what you want to believe. I'll find you a study that backs it up so you can feel okay about it. I guarantee I'll find somebody that did a study and got a different result.
So in other words, Tom, I just sucked all the joy out of this for you. Is that right?
No, you didn't. No, look, I'm not saying studies are wrong. I'm just saying that studies, you know, they find the, a recent study has developed, and now, you know, and it's like science changes. So all I'm saying is the science is fine, but, you know, if we depend on science and if we back all of our claims on science, what happens when science changes? What do we do then? What are you going to do, Eric? Go wash cars when they determine, science determines there's no such thing as ADHD? Or
and he'll do a good job
maybe,
of that, too.
Maybe we could just look around our room, see how filthy it is, and say, yeah, well, that's ADHD. If you base it on that, well, then that's better, wouldn't you say? Because that never changes. That's
you
all
know
I'm
what?
Saying.
I think you're oversimplifying what you're saying. That's, yeah. We could probably get into a, you know, we should have a.
That's another show.
A panel of experts, you know, to
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, put me on with the experts. I'll be happy to tangle ass with them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's.
Okay.
I think
Rick's ready for his song.
Oh, am I?
Okay.
Oh,
all
right. All right. Okay, so try to not laugh loudly because it's a song and I can't really pause. And it's, all right, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, Justine, cover your mouthpiece because you're going to laugh.
I will.
Okay. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. When my dad works late, Mom and Santa have a date. But last night, Dad came home early in a rather drunken state. Then I saw Daddy punching Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. Dad's language was obscene as he conked him on the bean, and Mom ran screaming nude into the night. Then I saw Daddy strangling Santa Claus with a wreath of mistletoe wrapped tight. Dad grabbed Santa's head, and Santa's face turned red. And they moaned and groaned and grabbed and squeezed and fell onto the bed. Then I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus. Fade out. Well, I think that's ruined
that's
that
great.
Song for everybody. It's just
that's excellent. That was very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the Frantics Blab show. And you guys do that every week, Rick?
No, once
now,
a month.
Is that like a weekly?
No, once a month. We've been getting together.
Oh, okay, once a month.
Yeah. Despite
that's
technical
great.
Problems. Yeah. Yeah. And then, we've actually used it as well with Totally ADD with our website. We've been using it for webinars. It's a great system, so very cool.
That's awesome. Do you do podcasts, Rick?
No, we've just done the Totally ADD thing has been really webinars, but I think we're going to we'll probably wait a little while before we do some more. We've done so many. I think we've done 67 or 80 over the years.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it's a
awesome.
While.
Wow.
Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for the show. It was really a lot of fun and also a lot of really good information. I appreciate all of you being on. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday and also a happy new year. I'm sure we'll all be together next year sometime.
Great.
So thank
yep.
you.
It was great talking to you guys.
Thank
you.
It was great fun.
This was great.
This
yeah.
was fun.
Yeah, I'd love to have you back on.
And what's the name of your show going to be? Kevin,
I'm starting a podcast in the new year. We're just waiting to get a few episodes in the can. I'm joining the group. ADHD, understanding, accepting, and embracing is
oh,
going to
awesome.
Be my podcast coming the new year.
That's great.
All right.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Have a great one, everybody. Happy New Year. Have a wonderful
Thank
holiday,
you.
And we'll talk. We'll all talk real soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, Rick.
Bye,
take
everybody.
Care. Everybody, thanks a lot.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.